The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components, lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, as well as wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. These guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles and they use the products they sell on their own rides. So if you guys are looking for specialty parts, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
We hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our website and purchase some apparel. Our websites are thegoodlife.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode. Because last time, it's choppy. I pulled the thing out. I put the thing back in. It's fine. And it ruins the entire audio clip.
Oh, really?
It never finds itself. So I'll like, It's how yours is. It's like,
if the little floaty.
Yeah. And then I have to chop it, bring it closer. And then it floats. And then chop it, bring it closer. And then chop it, bring it closer. And then chop it, bring it closer. I'm just like, what is wrong with this thing?
The thing is like we have often said that the barrier for any kind of content creation is pretty low. Like you can buy one of these mics and be in the podcast game for $100 basically. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that coin is they're not like the best, you know, like they're not like professional studio quality stuff. So there's going to be little quirks and features, I think, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could podcast with for $100 and it'll be fine. But you have to if you want a video.
Oh, yes.
There's a whole other thing. Because
I didn't realize it's
not the equipment that's being quirky.
Right.
It's the connection. It's the FaceTime. Mm-hmm. For some reason, the FaceTime interacts because the audio is going through the Rode program through FaceTime.
Yeah. It's just so adding all these extra like bits in front of it.
Yeah. If FaceTime, if the internet glitches on FaceTime, it cancels the audio. So the video keeps like the video or the audio keeps going, but the video stops and then it's off and then it does this and then this and this.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah it's like
a ton of sense. Well, let me rephrase that. If you want to get into it as we get into it, it's a little higher. The barrier for entry is pretty low, but then like if you want to do some extra stuff, it's slightly higher.
Yeah. Jose, you know, they got the poor boys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love them.
And they finally got some microphones, or they got a microphone, and then he hit me up the other day. He's like, "Hey, we were out with a bunch of people, and it was too noisy." I was like, "Oh, you need a different type of microphone for that."
Like, oh, he would try to use one of these?
I don't know what. I think he was trying to use like more of like a microphone on top of a camera. I didn't ask him, but I'm like, "Yeah, that's when you need a microphone on your person."
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a whole nother thing because how are you going to connect that microphone to your camera? And if you don't, then you have to do it in post. And then you have to pay $1 million a month for these subscription services to access this. Did your Adobe Cloud go up to $70 a month yet?
No, because I use my kid's school.
Yeah, it's $70 a month.
I know, yeah. For the entire suite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no way to pick it apart.
Like, oh, really? They've locked it into where it's...
No, you can't. Oh, okay. But there's no way to do it. Like, oh, you want Photoshop and Adobe Premiere? Just those two? Okay, it's $60 a month.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
It's for $10 more, because I only use predominantly those two, but I also use the sound program for this podcast, because I run it through a thing. So, like, I need that.
Yeah. It's a never-ending thing, man. But it's by design, like these companies, their goal is just to make as much money as possible. So they're going to figure out any kind of way. I'm wondering when like the student thing is going to change. Like, what are they going to do about that? You know, like, I don't know.
I'm sure they're going to, yeah. Being a student is going to be not an advantage anymore. It's going to be, you know what I mean? So yeah I'm sure that's going to change, or maybe not, who knows. But it just makes me have to charge more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I charge X amount to this person to edit their videos. Well, now I have to raise them by a little bit, and then this person by a little bit to make up for the price that went up. Mm-hmm. So it's just like everything goes up.
And then everybody gets not upset, but I mean, there are some complaints and people say things, you know, but
I'd like to know something that has gone down in price.
It's a good question.
I'd like to know something particularly in the last, I don't know,
12 months,
12 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
I was promised lower prices on certain things and they're not lower. So I just want to know if anyone has had the effect of lower prices on anything.
That's a good question. I don't know. It's definitely not in my industry that the shirts are not getting any cheaper. They're only getting more expensive as these companies are consolidating and monopolizing. And it's just like the price goes up and up and up, you know, and I get at least one email a week from my my screen print supplier for like the other side of it, which is like inks and chemicals and adhesives and stuff. And once a week I get a letter saying, hey, this company is raising their prices. This company is raising their prices.
Yeah. You know, YouTube TV raise their prices. Netflix raises their prices. Entertainment raises their prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Subscription services. You know, I got that new truck and I downloaded the app, you know, and so now I have the Ford app for the Maverick and the Nissan app for the Nissan. And there's a subscription service based on that too. So you get these certain things for free and then these certain things.
Same thing with the Toyota, but the Toyota is like, you get nothing for free. I can't, nothing. I can't like, I was like, well, maybe at least I'll like have at least maybe the remote start feature. No. They're like, nah, dog.
Nothing?
Nothing. It's $20 a month. I'm like, I'll just walk out there and go start it. It's freaking ridiculous. But, you know, here we are.
It's because people do it, though.
Because they'll pay
people
They go,
okay.
Yeah.
And a subscription service is so, you're like, oh, it's $10 a month. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's 10. But then if you add it all up.
Oh, yeah. Remember,
but if they were to... Oh, go ahead. If they were to be like, oh, it's $500 for 7 years, which like Ford Connect is doing something similar. It's like their automatic drive and all this stuff, right? They're like, sometimes it comes free, but it cuts off at 7 years, and then, or you could pay and it comes for a certain amount of years, but like they're rolling that into your financing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And now you're paying interest on it.
Yeah.
You know, you blew my mind one time a while ago when I was looking at trucks, and then I said, well, this one, you know, blah, blah, has these tires on it, so it raises the price. And you're like, why would you finance tires at that percent? I'm like, oh, yeah.
and not get the stock tires and wheels.
I know. That's the biggest, like, scam, dude.
You're getting a TRD Tacoma, like a TRD Tundra, or, you know, any of these vehicles with these brand new tires. Why would at the dealer, and this is anybody, don't buy a truck with aftermarket wheels and tires.
Yeah, not off the lot.
No, get the stock wheels and tires on it. Take them off and sell them for $1,500.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No.
Those.
And then go buy yourself a set of aftermarket wheels and tires.
Yeah, I know. It blew my mind. I'm like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And don't pay 5% interest or whatever your interest rate is over 72 months or whatever it is on that extra $3,000 that they're going to charge you.
And not only that, but like the wheels and the price that they're selling the wheels and tires for off the dealership are not what they caught. Like they're selling a set of, even like there was one that had stock wheels, but aftermarket, not aftermarket, but different tires on it, like off-roady tires. Those tires are about $1,300 from, you know, any tire shop. And they were charging $2,000 for them. So it's not like, not only are you paying interest on these things, you're paying premium price, like beyond premium
price. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just do the math.
It's whack, dude.
But again, it sounds good when it's only an extra $10 a month on your payment.
Right.
You're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Speaking of dealerships and the finance office, you know, we talked about this a million times.
Right.
So when I bought that truck, the finance guy was like, I had mentioned that I was looking at warranties through Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh yeah, we can do that for you if you want. He's like, let me look it up. But I was like, no, it's fine. I was like, the truck already has a warranty. And then when he, you know, they slide you that paper, there's a paper you sign that says like, as is, no warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to sign that, and I was like, oh, there is a warranty on this. And he's like, no, not that one. And I'm like, yeah, it's a 5-year, 100,000 mile, bumper to bumper warranty. And he's like, not on that year. Hold on. And he looks up the VIN. He's like, yeah, I'm looking up the VIN right now. No, 3-year 36. And I'm like, oh. I was like, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, no. He's like, we could sell you the warranty. I was like, it's a fight. Anyways, just write me up.
Yeah.
So get home, go into the truck last on Friday after we recorded last Friday. Went to turn the AC on. It worked, but the blower motor wasn't blowing air out of the vents.
Uh-huh.
It was blowing air through the seats, like uh-huh. the ventilated seats, right? But the, so I was like, huh, messing with it. Didn't work. Called the Nissan dealer. I was like, hey, I bought this truck. And the blower, and they're like, yeah, look up the VIN. They're like, all right, when do you want to bring it in? I was like, Tuesday. They're like, do you want a rental car? We'll just give you a car to drive around.
Oh, I'm dang.
Like, sure. And they're like, all right, cool. See you Tuesday. But and then I drove the truck on like Saturday or Sunday, and it worked.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, no. Yeah. So I Tuesday morning, no. I was like, Tuesday morning, I get in it to drive down to the dealer, and I turn it on, and it didn't work. I'm all, yes. So I drive down there. I was like, don't turn on. And then we get to the dealership, and he opens the door. He tries to turn, and he's filming it while he does it. He turns it on, and he goes, doesn't work. And I was like,
oh, cool. That's interesting. I've never seen that before. Makes yeah, sense. It's like documentation. Sure. Yeah.
And then he goes, gave me an Altima, drove it home. 3 o'clock in the afternoon that same day, he's like, hey, your truck's fixed, man. I was like, cool. He's like, yeah, the blower motor. He's like, we spun it. It got caught up in this one area. We put a new one in there.
And oh, wow.
He's like, there you go.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I really want to leave a review on that, because, you know, the Ford dealership that I bought the truck from keeps emailing me, hey, review. Leave a
oh,
review.
Oh, you're like, okay.
And I'm like, so then I can't find the text that they sent. I deleted them all. But if they send me another text,
mm-hmm.
I will leave a review.
Yeah, yeah. And say, you're trying to scam me out of my warranty, or try to make, not necessarily scam me out of warranty, just make you feel like there is no warranty, or there, yeah. like what was their end goal? Was their end goal to sell you a warranty through their dealership?
Through Nissan.
Through so Nissan.
Their end goal sell me the warranty that I could get on Nissan's website,
because that's what you're saying, that's like the extended warranty, and the proper way to do that is wait till you get towards the end life of the manufacturer yeah. warranty, and then buy the extended warranty.
But they were telling me this on a used car. They were like, you know, they were trying to argue the point that the truck did not have a factory warranty still.
Oh, okay. Just because it was used,
just because they were trying to think that this, maybe this guy doesn't know uh-huh. that this used truck that's almost 5 years old doesn't have, like,
I see.
Because most vehicles do not have a 5-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty.
Right, yeah, that's a Nissan-specific thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, so what he wanted to do was, you know, sell me the warranty at whatever the price was. He wasn't going to make money technically on the warranty, maybe a little bit, or try to upsell me. And then I don't know if they get a kickback from Nissan,
mm-hmm.
just probably. Like they get a kickback from their finance company. Mm-hmm. If they sell it to you through a certain finance company, they'll get like a 0.25% kickback or whatever. So yeah, imagine if I would have bought that warranty. I didn't know. I bought that warranty. Say it was $3,000, and then now I tack $3,000 onto my total price of the vehicle.
That's your financing.
Interest. I'm paying interest now on that $3,000. Mm-hmm. So $3,000 over however many months, at whatever interest rate, mm-hmm. is more.
Oh yeah.
When I could just bring the truck home, wait till April of next year when the bumper to bumper runs out, and then right before it does, pay cash for a warranty,
yeah,
and
exactly.
save myself however much money.
Yeah. It's all those little things that add up, and you know, but then again, there are some people who don't care. They just go through the process and they're like, yeah, I don't, whatever. They're like, yeah, well,
most people just care about a payment.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So like, we're like, you know, saying all these things, but there are some people out there who exist who are just like, okay. And then what's interesting, what happened to me, and cause like, as I was preparing to buy the Tundra and went through the whole thing, my experience at the dealership was so drastically different than what I anticipated, what you were saying, what I've heard before. Mm-hmm. We go into the finance office and I'm talking to the guy, and he says, okay, this is your down, this is blah blah blah, okay, cool. And he's all, you guys like interested in a warranty? I'm like, no. And then I'm like, okay, here we go, here's the fight. And he goes, okay. And then he just keeps doing his yeah. thing. I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening here? It was yeah. such a different experience than I was expecting.
And that dealer will get your business again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I bought both of my cars from there.
Yeah, so that, same with Jones Ford, where I bought the
Maverick.
Bucca, where I bought the Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared.
Yeah.
Go into the finance, and he's like, okay, here's your this and this and this. You want a warranty? I was like, no, I'm good. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like, see you later.
Dang, I wanted this to be a little harder.
Right,
you know, all the things that I've learned and research and all this stuff, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah. But you know what? I could almost like, as I was going through the process of looking for the truck and visiting all of these different dealerships, You could almost tell the vibe, like, because the dealership I went to was Crown Toyota in Ontario, California. And then, which I had bought the Camry from them before, and I really liked them. But with the Camry, it was a little bit different because I was dealing with the fleet manager. Just because, like, the car that we totaled, the AAA, like, just kind of, like, put us on to the fleet manager. Anyway, but then I went to Toyota San Bernardino. And just stepping on that lot, totally different vibe. They're, like, immediately up your ass, you know. They're, like, just very pushy. Their trucks, the same truck that was sitting on that lot, like 10 miles away, something like that, was $15,000 more on the sticker price. And it's just like, it's crazy. Like, it was blowing my mind how drastically different all these dealerships were. And then what's also very interesting about my truck is I went to Crown, did that whole thing. And a lot of it was like through via text, like me just talking to the sales guy. Really didn't really do anything. He just sort of like messaged me a couple times. I told him exactly what I wanted. Didn't hear from him. He come back with something. I said, no, I don't want that one. Wrong color. And back and forth. So he finally says, all right, I think I got one. So I go down, came from Redlands. Didn't even come from that dealership, you know? So it's just like, it's all this like, I don't know, man. It's all, I don't want to say a game or a scam or what it is, but it is definitely something.
There's a thing, Joe, because Joe Molina works at a dealership.
Yeah, I know. Joe's all, hey.
No, not even that. He understands it, but he also like, what's, you know, we were talking and he's like, that dealership has to pay for that property that it's on. Right. That dealership has to pay for their employees. So there is a profit that needs to be made, right? Mm-hmm. So you have MSRP from the manufacturer, and then if they sell it at MSRP, then their profit is, you know, if they get a kickback from the finance company, or they get they upsell you on warranty or gap or whatever it is. And then, you know, but they're getting it. MSRP is not what they're getting the truck for. They're getting it for invoice. And then also they're getting kickbacks from the manufacturers to sell volume. Mm-hmm. So like if you go to a bigger dealer, sometimes it's better because you can get an actual below MSRP because they're just trying to move as many trucks as possible.
Right.
To get the manufacturers to give them that thing. So it's all an interesting.
Yeah. The whole game. Dealership world is interesting.
Yeah.
But how do you like the truck? It's been a week.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
It's been a week.
With your truck.
I know. I drove it down to Tray 5. Or I drove down to Tray 5 on Wednesday to film, and Jeremy looked outside and he goes, you didn't bring your new truck? No. And he goes, lame.
I thought you did drive the new truck, and he was saying it's not new because it's old.
No, he just looked outside. He goes, well, that's lame.
Because you took the Maverick, right?
I was like, the Maverick cost pennies to drive down here. Right. I'm gonna drive that thing around. It gets terrible gas mileage.
Right, that's funny. No, I thought he was like clowning on you because it was a couple years old. He's like, I thought you were gonna bring a new truck.
No. Even on his latest video, he said in the video, he's like, and everyone congratulate Brian, he finally got a new truck.
Hey, that's like I think we discussed this last week a little bit too. Is just there are different types of people. There are some people who always have to have the brand new, newest thing all the time, and they don't mind a perpetual car payment. Then there are people who, I don't want to speak for you, but like myself, like I just want to see how I want to, you know, use these things all the way till the very end, you know, and not necessarily the very end, but just like get to a point, just use these things. Cause like everybody, like when you buy like a Toyota specifically, everybody's always like, yeah, man, this car, 300,000 miles, it's going to, but then they get like 2 years into it and then trade it. No one ever, like, it's a very nice like feeling to know that that is capable, but I think there are not too many people who actually take it to that place, you know. Yeah.
And so not anymore either, like me and Ronnie, because I was with Ronnie from C10 Tokyo Shame, and he's got an old cat eye Chevy diesel, you know, and like 2000, the last year of that era, I think 2007 or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, he goes, I was in an Escalade the other day and it was just screens.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then then another guy had a truck like him, and he said he traded it in or finally sold it and got a brand new fully loaded Denali diesel, $106,000, and da, 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 da. And it's just like, you don't know, like that 2007, same with our old Titans, right? Say if the radio goes out, it's just the radio that goes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if the radio goes out in something new, it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like it just blanks out, you know what I mean? So you're taking this risk of, with these newer vehicles, if one small thing happens, it's detrimental to the entire operational.
Which is more true, because like I remember hearing this a long time ago, because like even when, like back when in the mid-2000s when people were buying cars, and I remember my dad specifically saying that, like, oh, these new cars, all these electronics and relays and stuff. But now we look back on it like, oh, those Titans were nothing, you know, like. So it's just interesting to now be in this era, which now is even more true than ever. Like, yeah. Oh, the thing that I'm working on the Tundra right now, and I wanted to get your advice on it and see. So one thing that bothers me about that truck is, you know, they're drive-by-wire trucks, even like the Titans were. But they put software in them. And I think what it is when they come up with these like certain parameters for like MPG and like certain milestones that they have to hit, like it factors in everything. So like it has the automatic shutoff. It has, you know, like some trucks have the deactivation cylinders, like and so you buy the truck and you're like, oh, this thing is supposed to get 25 miles to the gallon, but it never really does. I think it's under like a very strict set of circumstances using all of these different things, right? And so I think one of the things that they do is the throttle response on the pedal. And the Tundra, like sometimes like I'll roll, do a little California roll through a stop sign or whatever. If the truck doesn't come to a complete stop and then take off, and you kind of like lay into the pedal, it will like almost like delay. Like it'll go, and then it'll take off. And it bothers the crap out of me. I can never figure it out. At first I thought, oh, maybe that's turbo lag. No, that wasn't it. You know, like, so I was thinking all these things. And I finally, one day I was just like, oh, I'm going to look up poor throttle response on a Tundra. And then all of this stuff came up. So that's what it is. They tune the throttle to when you're not just like slamming on the gas and it's not dumping a bunch of fuel in it. So it makes the fuel economy go up. So I found this thing. It's a throttle response controller. And what it does is it's really simple. All it does is you unplug the plug on the accelerator, plug this piece in, and it's basically...
It's not made by Pedal Command, is it?
No.
So you have to be careful with that, because there's a thing called Pedal Commander, and it does certain things like that. But these are not good products. You're messing with your electronic throttle that... What if
this
something
is also
happens?
A very good point.
And it floors the truck into a. Why would you? Okay, here's the thing. Also, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna. You're talking, I'm gonna look it up so we could be on the same page here. But go ahead.
Okay. You are very aggressive on your throttle off the start.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By your truck limiting that for you is good, because that saves your rear end, your transmission, and you want to know the biggest factor that saves?
Uh huh.
Your tire wear.
Valid. All very valid.
Because tire wear, people think that tire wear comes from the weight of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening, by the way.
That's fine. That's a big EV argument, right? Oh, they weigh a lot, so they wear tires more.
Uh-huh.
That's not the reason that they wear tires more. The reason they wear tires more is because of torque. Torque is what wears tires. And that's why, you know, you rotate your tires back and forth, because you're driving by your rear tires, and when you take off fast, you lose a little bit of tread every single time you're taking off.
Yeah, front wheel drive, vice versa. Yeah. Well, and the only thing that bugs me is one. Yeah, I'm kind of used to the Titans. The Titans were a little more like power on demand, so that's what I was kind of used to. So I've kind of gotten more used to it. But actually, the thing that bugs me more than anything is, like, say I'm in that scenario and I'm like rolling, and there's someone coming up. People are so impatient down to like milliseconds. And it's happened to me where I press the accelerator, the truck kind of like lags a little bit, and this person's already like nudging out of there. And then finally the accelerator kicks in and takes off, and it's kind of like, you know what I mean? And I understand that, you know, you can plan ahead for that, but that is just one thing that
you could just stop at the stop sign like a normal person.
No, okay. All right. Fair enough. Let me tell you what this thing is. So this is a, hold on. This is a I'm sorry. The channel I saw this was on was Extreme Terrain Toyota, and I actually looked at them when I was like looking for my bed cover. And this is a 2022 to 2024 Tundra Shift Power USA Throttle Response Controller review and install. So if people listening want to go check out what I'm referring to, go search that up on YouTube. And yeah, you're right. You know, you are adding a aftermarket thing into this truck. You know, one of my main concerns always is like warranty stuff. So like, you know, if I plug this thing in and something happens, are they just going to go on the computer? And
yeah. Imagine
if
you get in an accident and then they find that, and your insurance is like, yeah, we're not covering you.
That's a great point.
Also, go look up. So Banks Power,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have their, you know, the old owner, the old man
Gail.
Is such a wealth of knowledge.
You're right.
He talks about Pedal Commander and the banks.
I saw that video too.
That's what you should pay attention to because okay. I would never put something in between my truck's computer and the throttle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not relying on what came from factory. You're relying on this thing to talk to the other thing.
Right.
In milliseconds.
Right, right. No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And it sounds great because, like, you know, you watch the video and they're talking, it's super easy to install. You just plug, and then you can go into your phone and download the app and, like, change it and change the response and do all this stuff. Which actually the truck already has that because my truck, it has three different drive modes. It has eco, normal, and sport. And, like, as I was, like, kind of learning the truck and how it reacts and stuff, I found myself every time I get in that truck, I do two things. I turn it into sport and I turn off the automatic shut off.
Yeah.
And then that helped out a lot. But just recently, I'm like, it's almost like still kind of doing it. But it's also one of those things that's like first world problems. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's also probably by design. It's not probably.
That's what I'm saying. It is.
It's not a gas mileage thing because it's just a delay.
Mm-hmm.
The delay, even so, if you half throttle, there's a delay. But after the delay, you're still at half throttle. So you're still getting the same amount of gas mileage as if you instantly went to half throttle.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably more of a, like a safety net for something in the truck that doesn't like.
Oh, like the transmission. Cause these are like something. Also the transmissions are so, this sounds like very old man, but like the transmissions are just like, now they're like, I think that one's like a 9-speed or something.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, there's all this stuff happening in the transmission. These are very valid points, and that's why I wanted to bring them up.
Yeah,
it's just one of those. My dumb ass would have just been like, "All right, bye."
yeah, it's that's what that one has. It's got a 9-speed transmission in it, but it's still they're super like reactive on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also
still a V8 truck. I mean,
yeah,
it's a lot of power.
But it's all in the tuning, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't matter if it's a V8. A 4-cylinder, it's all in the tuning on the throttle response.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the old Titan, that thing, because it was tuned. In that tune that I bought for it, it changed transmission shift points. It changed everything. So that thing, when it shifted, it was like crazy. Like it was just crazy.
Yeah, redid your cats and stuff, right?
Yeah, deleted the cats, added the headers and all that stuff, and then it tuned it, and then it just like. It just changes the parameters in the computer to tell it when to shift at this throttle or this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's in the tune. It's just like the Tundra, the entry level Tundras, the S's or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Same exact motor, same exact transmission, same exact everything,
mm-hmm.
but they're less horsepower because they tuned them out.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, here's a truck that's $5,000 cheaper that can't do as much of the things, but it still has the exact same equipment in it. And you're like, well, so it's all on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone could plug into the computer and just go ding, ding, and change the parameters of that entry level to yours,
it would have. So how's that any different than plugging in this throttle control thing?
It's not from Toyota.
Oh, you're Toyota can. Oh, so
Toyota.
I can go. Wait, I can
go to
Toyota?
No. I'm saying the entry level Tundra.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying that.
Has less capability than your Tundra, but it's the exact same truck.
Right.
So Toyota change the parameters in that entry level one to not give it as much towing rating, to not give it as much horsepower, to make it slower. So when you go to buy this thing, you're buying the same truck, but you're getting less because it's literally all in the computer.
Right.
So that thing that you go between, that's not a tuner. That doesn't change parameters in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It just changes the signal from the throttle to the thing, but it's not from Toyota. So it's like, you know, something like that is, like, I would never put anything like that on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take my truck to a tuner that changed the computer.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's where I was going just a moment ago.
Not the thing that's because that's not a tuner. That's just it's different.
Yeah. It's just a controller, basically. So yeah. That's what I wonder. I wonder if I can go to someone who tuned, like the guys who like diesel trucks and stuff, or like race cars,
you can take anything to a tuner. They can plug it in and they can change certain things.
Mm. That might be something. But also
it's dicey. Going to be a minimum of $600 because they have to pay the tuning cost to access the machines. And then it might be even more because of what the truck is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's just like, It's all about what you're willing to pay for what you get.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'm just kind of like messing around with it, like the thought and everything. I mean, it's still nice. Like, I'm not, it's not something that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Did you happen to check out, before we spoke this morning, I sent you a TikTok with a standard cab 6-liter Chevy that mm-mm. just came out. So, and this is kind of a good segue into like tuning and like trucks and power and everything. Yeah, I saw this TikTok that Chevy has introduced a Silverado. It's a standard cab, short bed, 6.2-liter, 6-speed truck, supercharged.
Oh, so this is from the factory.
This is from the factory. This is a Chevy.
So it's a direct Chevy. Competition to the... Me and Joe were just talking about this because...
About the Fords?
The Fords. Yeah. And he goes, man, he goes, if Chevy makes one, I'm going to buy it.
There you go, Joe.
If he's going to buy it. There you go.
I just saw it this morning. It's bad. It's a bad truck, dude.
Well, yeah, those Fords are... insane. And the you can get a 700 or 800 horsepower truck.
They're boasting
from the factory with the warranty.
They're boasting this one is 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's wild. In a truck. In a six. Yeah. It's basically a Corvette truck. Yeah. But the Ford ones are super cool too. My favorite thing about the Ford ones though is like the Chevy one, and it could just be the particular model that they were reviewing, but this one was like lowered, bigger wheels, black, red, you know, accents, like very race trucky.
Yeah.
The Fords are just stock trucks.
And I kind of like that about the Ford.
I love that about the Fords.
It's like the Raptor.
Yes.
The Raptor does have bigger fenders and some stuff, but it still like doesn't look too crazy. And then you always have these competition. The other, you know, Chevy came out with like something to compete with it and called it some weird name. And then you have the
Trail. That's a Trail Boss.
No, the Trail Boss is just a it's just like the TRD.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
It's not really like a long travel.
Mm-hmm.
At least
Chevy made one.
Chevy made something.
I know that Dodge made one. That's the TRX.
Yeah, which is insane too.
Oh my gosh. My neighbor has one.
Yeah.
That thing is massive. Like it makes my Tundra look like my Tacoma.
Yeah, they're insane. Dodge is the best at making cartoons out of vehicles.
Oh, definitely. Dude, when they start that truck, I feel like it's like probably cost them like at least $10 to start that truck.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they have to do all these provisions for it not to get stolen because those trucks get stolen. Well, you saw, was it Lightning?
Oh, yeah.
Sean Holman. One of those Lightning two has did. One. Lightning. Mm-hmm. And he installed those posts in front of his house.
Those are, dude, if anybody like goes, I don't know how to search it up, but if you come across his videos on, I bet you if you go on Instagram and just look up Ballards, his video will come up. And the comments are just so funny, dude, because like he installed these Ballards so his truck doesn't get stolen. And all the comments are like, why would you do that? Like, it's insane. It gets so, I mean, not even entertaining, like toxic insane, but it's funny. Mm-hmm. You should just go check it out. It's hilarious. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, they get stolen a lot. Mm-hmm. But Ford does it well, and then sometimes other manufacturers get a little too into it. Like they make things a little, they put stickers on too many things, or they make too many.
Almost like cartoony.
Just to the point where you're just like, okay, now it doesn't look like a sleeper anymore. It just looks like. Like it's almost like putting a body kit on a lower truck. It's like you don't need the body kit on there. Just lower the truck more type thing.
Yeah, no, I would love to check one of those out in person and maybe get a chance to drive one. That'd be really cool. But yeah, so yeah, just I sent that to you today.
I was behind a Raptor the other day and I was like, man,
Raptors are so dope.
I want one of those.
The Raptor to buy is the first gen, so 6.2-liter first gen. Because apparently, because again, I've said this dude's name a million times, but Vintra, like he's a Raptor dude, and he's had many of them, and he's had the first gens, and he's had the second gens. I don't know if they have a third gen, but the second gens just have a host of problems with them, and his was always broken. But the first gens are like solid trucks, and even like the ones that have like a lot of miles on them, they're kind of scratched and dinged up. They're still pricey, you know, just because people want them.
Yeah,
but yeah, no Raptors, and Ford was probably. I think Ford was like the Raptors were the first ones to do like an off road long travel like real truck like that.
Yeah, yeah, there was always trims that added certain things like shocks or whatever. But I mean that factory 35-inch wheels, factory long travel suspension.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were supercharged.
I think some were. I don't know if they were all.
Yeah, I don't know, but. Yeah. I love manufacturers that do that. And Dodge Dodge is the best at it because they just will put like, they're like, oh, look at this. We will sell you this car that literally does wheelies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we're going to charge you more to take the seats out of it and sell it to you with just the one seat in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. No, it's super cool. But yeah, other than that, we dropped some videos this last week.
We did.
Yeah. And they were almost identical.
Yes, they were. That's what happens when we do the same thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. So what do you think? Well, first, what did you think about my video? Because I have a question about mine. Because I was like, this is my first video going into the build process of the Tacoma. And I took it over Panda. We had about a 10-minute discussion. Well, it originally was like probably like a 15, almost 20-minute discussion. By the time I cut it all down and cut some of the stuff out, it was about a 10-minute discussion. Mm-hmm. But even at 10 minutes, what did you think? Did you think it was interesting? Did you think it drug on? Do you think I could have done something differently?
No, I don't think you could have done anything differently, but I think you're going to just quickly learn. Like, I'm real curious. There's two things that it's going to be fun to watch you.
Okay.
Three things that are going to be fun to watch you go through this process.
Uh-huh.
The first one is going to Pandas when things are happening and wondering what to film and what not to film. And then sitting there for a long time because there's nothing to film.
Mm-hmm.
Or filming things over and over and over again and going, okay, I don't need to do that. That's something you just have to, that I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. I did it yesterday. I went down there and filmed something yesterday and it was just like, all right. I need, you know what I mean? Like, what do I need to do? What do I don't? It's just it's a constant battle of like, but you not being an hour from his house, you being 5 hours from his place is going to be a tough one. The second thing is that was hilarious when you cut the budget thing off.
Oh yeah. Angie came up with that. Cause originally it was, what's your budget? And then I go, we'll talk about that off camera.
No,
but Angie said, cut it right when he asked there. Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, that's perfect.
Don't need anything else.
Yeah.
But that's going to be fun to watch is as your, cost grows mm-hmm. and your stress grows. because like we're into the back end of the red truck right now. And you know, little parts are costing, you know, steering part, things you don't even think. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to body drop this truck. But no, mm-hmm. the steering is $1,000 to just to do the steering. Or there's little things that you have to do that cost a lot of money. So any money you have set aside for your truck right now, add to that.
Oh, I'm don't I, just I'm, think I have that.
Yeah. Keep adding to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good advice.
But, and then the other thing is then driving it, like, you know, when we were driving my truck and it hits the ground or
mm-hmm.
it does this thing or it makes this noise or it does. Those are just things that those things do.
That's going to probably that's going to be the hardest part for me.
But that's with anything custom.
That's true.
I mean, you're having to deal with your Tundra that doesn't gas when you want it to gas. Now imagine this, like this thing that like makes this noise or I don't even know, like.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to learn to, when the truck hits the ground sometimes, it's all right.
Yeah. I know. That's how you were.
Do it.
Like, we're mobbing yourself, bang! I'm like, ah! And you're like, meh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But you learn to, but that's when, during the build,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I know, that's one of the whole reasons I'm getting a new bed. Like, we took the bed off of the truck because the bed supports that attach to the fenders, they're bolted on.
Mm-hmm.
Those bolts are the lowest hanging thing on the bed.
Oh.
Those bolts hit first. Those bolts break the bed supports, and then those bolts. So I wanted to make new bed supports with no bolts. And then once we started to do that process and look under the bed, I was like, well, we could just. And then I want to make a frame that goes under the bed that's like one by one that goes along the bottom of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
So if that bed ever comes in contact with the ground, it's now a solid. It's like a boom,
right.
Boom, instead of, you know, the.
Just like
tinny
a tin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So it's just one of those things where if you do a lot of preventive planning, when it comes down to, you know, like you're going to have to drive that truck down, up and down that dirt road of yours.
Yeah.
So like, you know, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, well, I need to know where to be at air wise to do this. You don't want to be all the way up. Because when you're all the way up, your suspension is too stiff and you
right.
will rattle that truck completely apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've broken stuff like that before on the 4Runner. Yeah. I've broken stuff like that.
Yeah. So you make the turn, you get onto your road, you put it on 2,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, give yourself some suspension play,
mm-hmm.
and then just find your route. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And so that's like pre-planning all these things. And but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, though the video, that, I think that's a good. It's a good behind the scenes of actually what really kind of like how you talk to somebody.
Exactly. And actually Lindsay brought up that point. Like I asked her what she thought and she's all, it was long, but it was okay in the beginning. Cause it like sets up everything. Like they all can't be that kind of drawn out, but that one was good for that, for the first one. And it also kind of like gives people insight on how to approach a shop and the questions to ask when you get to the shop.
Yeah. Cause like, it's your questions, what's important to you. Exactly. And everyone's things are different. Mm-hmm. So the thing that might be important to you might not be important to someone else.
Exactly.
So, but they could go, oh, well, he asked that question. What's important to me? And then they do this. And it also, it doesn't matter if it's long and drawn out. Mm-hmm. I edit videos for people that I never watch. You know, like they'll be like, hey, what'd you think? And I go, I didn't even watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm all, I didn't watch it. I just edited the video.
You just told me to edit it.
I know it's linear. So it's like, this is where it starts. This is where it ends. Chop, chop, chop. I didn't watch it. And they're like, why didn't you watch it? I'm like, because it's not a video for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and same with like Trey Five videos. His videos get a ton of views and they do really well. I don't watch. That's not my style of video because for one, I'm already in the shop. I already know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you ever get feedback of like, well, that was really long and drawn out. It doesn't matter if it's long and drawn out. It mm-hmm. literally doesn't matter what it is because someone could find that interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of everybody's views are different and there's a lot of viewers yeah. out there and everybody takes what they want.
Yeah, it's whether or not you are getting the point across and you watch it. And that's why I say take time to make the videos and make sure you're not rushing to get them out. There's no reason to rush to get the video out. It's more of like go, like how you took that taking that snippet out that Angie told you to take out. You probably have more comments on that part of the video than any other part
yeah,
of the video.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So like just that little thing made people react to
yeah stop and then
yeah so there's just those little things. The one that I'm making right now, I can't wait to put out, and it's not even anything of substance. It's literally just going down to the Pandas, filming the steering getting put on, and then we go for a ride in Pandas Tacoma because he got it fixed.
Oh cool.
And it's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there, and it's, and I'm thinking, I always just like, I could almost make that an entire video, just that steering, just that. But then I'm gonna throw the this weekend into it, and yeah, and again, it might not be everyone's cup of tea. People might go, oh, you didn't really show any build stuff in that video.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't do this. And I might get, I mean, I've gotten more thumbs down on my videos in the last two really? Videos than I've ever have. It's really? Not a lot. It's like six,
right? But more than normal,
more than the two that I normally get.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going, well, some people that might not like that, but that's totally fine because more people did. It's like this.
Yeah. Yeah,
more people liked sure. it than they didn't. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Criticism is one of those things where changing the style of video that you're doing, you're going to get more of it
mm-hmm.
because they're used to what you used to do.
Right.
But you're changing it up a little bit, but you got to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. And I'm so excited to make the, and like, it was not me like rushing to get the video out because I felt like I needed to. It's because I wanted to, and I just really wanted to work on it. And as soon as I got home, I started putting it together. And that's what I needed. And we've talked about this so much, and mm-hmm. that's what you needed at some point, you know? But at the same time, like what was interesting is before I even started the video, I thought it was I thought it was going to be a lot of build stuff and then very little pine stuff, but then it actually kind of just balanced itself out.
Yeah.
And everything flowed really nicely from me getting out there and then talking to Panda and then into the show. And then like, the show coverage wasn't crazy, you know, it was probably maybe like a dozen trucks, you know, mm-hmm. featured in there, which normally I'd be like, oh no, I need to get more. No, I'm like, no, this is perfect. It summed up the show, you know, mm-hmm. Everything flowed, everything went nice, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time making that one.
The only suggestion that I would make
mm-hmm.
is now you're doing the intros with the t-shirts yes. or whatever. You should get more creative with those.
Yeah.
Instead of just standing in your office. And I have this problem too, because I'm like, I'm just standing in my garage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, go drive somewhere. Take the Tacoma, go drive down the street, go to 7-Eleven, go to somewhere. You know what I mean? Like I could picture you like the Tacoma pulling up, getting out, filling a Slurpee up, and then getting in the Tacoma and then drinking the Slurpee and go, you guys see this shirt? You could buy it. Custom life, livelifecustom.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boom. That's great. Yeah, it was yeah. It was my first kind of just dive into that. Like,
yeah.
I really didn't know what I was going to do. I just, and I straight up told you this before. I'm like, I'm just going to copy you. And that's what I did. But it just, yeah, it just kind of got me going in that. And yeah, that'd be great to change it up. And yeah, yeah, I just want to start down that path, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's definitely like one of those things where like keeping it super quick, super simple, right at the beginning of the video. You know, and it's not copying me because I copied somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all, that's literally how things work. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, get people to do whatever right at the beginning and then this. So,
yeah, no, I enjoyed it. And then I also liked, because I filmed all that afterwards, like as I was making the video, which I liked too, because it was, it gave me a chance to really set up the video. Cause like a lot of the times in all, literally every one of my other videos, it starts at me at the beginning talking about the trip that we're going to do. And then sometimes it doesn't work out like that. Some things happen, mm-hmm. you know? So it kind of like it kind of veers in weird places, but this one allowed me to do the thing, come back and like kind of explain exactly what was going on. You know, I felt that was beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's even while you're doing the thing, like imagine while you were driving to Prescott, you could have made that video.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You could, mm-hmm. you could have like set the camera up while you're driving and you could have been like driving to Prescott. Here's a new t-shirt. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Like there's so many different ways to do it. And that's kind of where I'm at now is I'm like, okay, at the next show that I do with the booth setup, I'm going to talk. I'm going to make the sales pitch at the show.
Yeah. That's cool.
Like I'm going to go be like, hey, we're here at Trucking 48. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. But meanwhile, check out this t-shirt on the website.
Nice.
It sucks.
I like it.
Like I feel like I always hate being the used salesman.
Yeah, but.
But like, at the same time, just the only way that this works.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like how this whole thing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that feeling, but I also get the other feeling like sometimes you just got to do it, you know?
But being more creative about it, it's always like, it's like Playboy magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They have ads in there, but they're very good ads and they're placed properly or, mm-hmm. Truck Hub magazine. Truck Hub makes sure that their ads aren't they don't necessarily come across as like cheesy or whatever, and they're just nice ads.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you kind of make it. And like just getting more creative with them doesn't make it feel like an ad.
Mm-hmm. I find those all the time, like, you know, going through all these different social medias and stuff. Like it's funny when you come across something and you watch it and you're like, wait a minute, that was an ad.
Yeah, Rich Rebuilds, if you ever watch any of his videos, he's the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. You're just like, you kind of know what's happening, but then you're like, don't, but then afterwards you're like, oh,
like that was an ad.
That was really good. Yeah, where it's like some like us just, you just say it at the beginning and you're just like getting through it, but trying to learn how to do that is fun.
Yeah No, it's all
speaking of ads. I got air fresheners and some hoodies left. So if you want to go buy those, see, it's mid-roll, right?
There you go.
Yeah, except we're at the end. But yeah, I have a couple of hoodies left and you get an air freshener.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do some air fresheners myself. I think that'd be fun. I was going to do some more vinyl keychains that I've done before, but I kind of want to mess around with some air fresheners. Everybody does. It's fun, so.
Yeah, to mess around with different things. So mm-hmm. the air fresheners, I got koozies coming. Yeah.
Awesome. You didn't let me talk about your video.
Oh yeah, my video. I did one too.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. No, it was fun. I love your videos. How, like, you know, you were saying that just get people talking. Oliver's story about his Fender was awesome. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
The part where it got flagged for the copyright.
That was very funny, dude. And you just reminded me of it. Yeah, that was freaking hilarious. Yeah. And then you came in with the voiceover and it was like that made that video so much better, actually. Like me telling the story is one thing with the music in the background. That would have been like, okay, that's interesting. But then to stop, you're like, hold on, I got to explain what's happening. Which is really funny because like I always worry about that, about background music getting flagged. Because even when I was dropping off the trophy in that truck, like there was music playing in the background. I'm like, oh man, that's too clear. But yeah, it didn't
that's when you put this mic on.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's when you don't rely on the camera mic. And that's what I should have. That's what I need to like be more cognizant about sometimes is, mm-hmm. oh, there's it. Cause I thought it was going to get flagged during the Oliver talking.
Oh, okay.
It didn't. It got flagged. I knew something was going to get flagged, but I didn't think it was the part where you were talking. I thought it was going to be the Oliver part.
Hmm.
And I'm glad it wasn't the Oliver part.
Yeah.
Because
that would have been like, it was funny.
It would have been weird because you're on the channel and we do this podcast normally. So it's funny to do that, but Oliver's not.
Yeah.
So having Oliver talk himself was definitely a key element.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that's like when going back to Jose and the microphones, it's like when you're at events and there's music there and you try to put that on a social media, like the funny part is those DJs can actually get copyright flagged too if they don't have permission to play that music. That's why when you go into like a grocery store, they're playing the same tracks every day. They're not playing the live radio.
No, yeah, because it's all because they've purchased the right to that to put it in the public space.
Yeah, yeah. And then same with good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys shows usually have like that they purchased the right to use that music for their shows.
That's
interesting. Not a lot of people know that, but if you're a DJ and you're playing music at an event for over a certain amount of people, you're profiting on the music that another creator made.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the show promoter. I'm paying the DJ. The DJ is playing music that he did not make.
Right. And so making money off of it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Do you want to, there's been a question that's been kind of hanging about. You want to go into it real quick?
Yeah. Is it the one from YouTube?
Yes.
From Dexter Bostick?
No, I don't know. Hold on. I'll tell you right now. No. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It is.
All right.
Okay. Go for it. You want to drop in?
All right, we're dropping in.
Drop it in.
I don't think the drop-in thing's working very well. Did you hear the last one?
Yeah, it was low. Like, I didn't hear it.
It was very like, let's try it. Ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Drop! And drop.
Dropping in.
Drop in.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
Drop it!
All right.
I have to go to the YouTube because I
have it right here.
Oh, you have the whole thing? Okay, because I screenshot it and I didn't realize there's a read more, so half of it's gone. Go for it.
Yeah, I did. I clicked the read more and then screenshot it.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So it's from Dexter Bostick on YouTube. Question. This can be answered here on the pod. Do you guys like to have an air management system like a P1 or E-level or like to do old school just switches? Kind of find it where quality builds have to have some type of auto level to be nice. What do you guys say?
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first.
First of all, not to be pedantic, but they're all air ride management systems, whether they're leveling or not leveling. But that's sorry. But no, I love auto leveling systems. I've said this before. I had AccuAir on the Forerunner for its whole life, and it's so nice, dude. It's so nice to have. There was when I first had it, and this is funny because we were talking about this earlier about locking it up and stuff breaking. So when I first had the truck built, I locked it up super high and I was taking it down my road and I went over a bump and it broke the rear sensors on it. And that's just because they were installed wrong. They were installed wrong.
Yeah.
However, I had to wait till they got fixed and I went a couple weeks without it. And those couple weeks sucked. Like I did not like having.
Go ahead.
No. Anyway, so I did not like having a non-leveling system. I've come to really like it. I liked AccuAir. I know there are many different systems out there, but I liked the AccuAir. It was fine. I've heard great things about Airlift. Yeah, I've heard good things about Airlift. I think at this point, like it's like the cell phone thing. Like they're all good systems, you know.
Yeah. They all do. They all have slight advantages and slight disadvantages, and it's up to the person. The user to figure out what they actually need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do you need pressure leveling readings? Do you need to know how much PSI you're at? Personally, I don't need to know how much PSI I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know how much PSI is in my tank. You know what I mean? I just need to know that if I'm on the ground or if I'm not on the ground and type thing. And like, I had an auto leveling, I had level ride in the Maxima and it was great. I like auto leveling. For the simple, you know what I mean? Like, you know where you're at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also like not having it because it just feels old school to me.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, and I know, since I drove my Tacoma every single day with never an auto ride in there, I knew exactly how to drive it. Right. I would pull out of my driveway. I would lay it all the way on the ground. I would tap it up and I would tap it up and then I would just drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't need to know how high I was because if I was going to come into a driveway, instead of pushing 3 to lift it all the way up, on my remote control, I just push a button that lifts it all the way up. Mm-hmm. There's a single button on the slam controller
that lifts all four.
Lifts it all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the disadvantage to that is when I want to go back down, I can't just push a button to get me back down to where I was.
You
have
gotta
to
go like
figure out where I was.
Right.
But it's a little, it's kind of fun for me, but also not. Mm-hmm. So like, I have not put a leveling on my truck yet. Also, he made it like a comment on here.
Yeah, I was going to follow the second question, which was, you're talking about the reply. Because the second part of his question is, does a build need to have an auto leveling system to be considered a nice build?
No, and a funny story about that is when Accuware, quote unquote, went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I saw comments saying, "Oh well, now I can't airbag my truck."
What?
Because
uh-huh.
Accuware did such a good marketing thing,
yeah,
that people thought you needed that to have airbags. They didn't know, and then Accuware became a company. Accuware became very popular. Auto leveling key became part of popular, and then new people got into the scene.
And then didn't realize
only
it.
Knew that.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
So now they're thinking, oh, this goes away. I can't even put Air Ride on here because they don't understand that there's other systems, and two, you don't need to have, like, you can do the leveling manually.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I can't wait to have one. The other reason I don't like them is the extra work that is involved. And the extra wiring
like
that you have to run. Yeah, it's just extra stuff. And I don't like extra stuff. I like the minimal things as possible.
I was going to say that it makes sense in your truck. Because I feel like, I mean, and maybe it's just because my mind is this way right now with your truck. Because your truck is very stripped down, bare bones. You know, like it makes sense like to in that scenario. But that's just because like my mind is just thinking because like the interior is not completed. It's kind of stripped down, you know, but no, I don't think it honestly matters. I think it's whatever people like. And it always comes down to that. Whatever people like, I'm an auto leveling guy. I like it. I like being able to just hit a button, especially like you said, with the down, like when I want to get down, cause I'll even like in the 4Runner, I would just drop it on one, but then I would still like just bring the front up a little bit or just mess with it just a tiny bit. But it gave me that initial, like, okay, this is where I want to be. And just kind of go from there, you know, but also driving too, just driving and it being nice and level and you're just cruising and it's kind of doing its thing and doing adjusting and everything like that. So the Tacoma will have a auto leveling system. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm pro, but also like this is an interesting question to go to his follow-up question about build quality. If you got into a $300,000 C10 build and it didn't have an auto leveling system, would you be like,
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
It is, right? So maybe I think there's some validity to what he's saying, that when you get into these very high end builds, like it is almost like you have to.
It's almost expected.
Expected, yeah. Because you're like, well, this thing is very expensive. I should have all the very expensive things in it.
It almost it makes the gauges, like the pressure gauges, it almost makes it for you don't need those. Because me, if I didn't have, I would want four pressure gauges to know what pressure was in each bag because I could kind of go by the pressure to see where I was at level wise.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew that I was at 30 PSI in the front and 20 PSI in the back, that I was pretty level and pretty low. Visually, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be perfect because a pressure based is never perfect.
Right.
And especially in a truck because if you have just a pressure based system, like these companies sell just pressure based systems, those are good for cars, but for a truck, it's not that you're going to like load down because if you put that load in a pressure based system, it's just going to want to, like air up or air down, not level with the front. So that's why the levelers are superior to that.
Well, we're going to have a whole bunch of insight because I won't say who or what, but very soon we'll be talking to someone who's very knowledgeable about this.
Yes.
And then we'll get some questions, some real hard questions answered.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
But yeah, I think they are in this day and age, you don't need it to be nice, but it's nice to have.
But it's nice to have. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to say it. And because, you know, we've been around so long, we've gone through everything way, way back to when my first truck just had the plastic ball valves in it. You know what I mean? And then to go from, I remember the transition from those plastic ball valves and the handle ones to electric valves or manual valves to electric valves. Like that transition was oh my gosh, that was so wild when my first truck that had an electric valves was insane, you know? And then the transition from those valves to the blocks. Now, instead of having this like massive network of, you know, all of these like these valves, now it's this tiny little box you could just stuff under the seat or something, you know? Like, and then now the next step, it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's always very cool. And the accessibility of it too, because I remember when AccuWare first came out, just like it was at that, and it's just like everything. It's even like the valves, going from manual valves to electric valves. You're like, well, now I got to buy all these valves, and they're $50 each, you know. And then when you go in from electric valves, or from the blocks to like now this fully, automatic system. And I remember back then, I think when it first came out, it was what, like $3,000, something like that.
Something.
Yeah. I can't. And then I remember back then being like, oh my god, dude, that's so much money for just an air management system, you know. But now you're like, well, that's just part of the deal.
Yeah. And the thing too is like, if you're going to buy, like if you're like, oh, I don't want an auto leveling system because it's not in my budget, mm-hmm. which is, you know, great. Not great, but like.
That's fine.
valuable. It's like a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's not everyone can afford it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you still have to buy valves. Mm-hmm. So a valve block is $400 give or take, depending on what you get. Mm-hmm. You get a switch box. $100 depending on what, $100 to $200. So mm-hmm. now you're at $600-$700. Mm-hmm. And you still need
fittings and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the, you know, I don't know how much more. I've never bought an auto leveling system. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the exact cost of it, but what's it worth to you to, while you're installing that stuff, to install that now, mm-hmm. while you're installing all that, or to install it later when you buy it? You can do both.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, oh, I don't really have the extra X amount of money. You know, can you figure out how to get that X amount of money now, mm-hmm. or how, whatever it is.
That's another part of it too. Cause like, not only are you taking on this extra cost of the actual system, but I mean, if you're going to install it yourself, that's one thing, but if you're going to have it installed, that's extra money too. That's hours. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, shop time. That's like, there's a lot of factors involved.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it's like whatever you want to do, man. If we forgot to, did he mention what he liked?
No.
Let us know what you like, or if you've had it, or you're thinking about having it or getting it. And if you're thinking about getting it, we might be able to help you out. So,
yeah.
Again, conversations for later on. But anyway.
Yes.
But yeah, so that was a good question.
Yeah. And I went on the Instagram, the drop Instagram, and there was nothing on there. Mm-hmm. But did you read that one about screen printing?
No.
No. It was about, I'll just show it to you afterwards. It was just more of a comment than a question, but it was kind of like a talking about the direct garment.
Oh, okay. I think we had a whole conversation about that just recently.
We did, but I think this was a response to that.
Oh, interesting.
It was an unread response, mm-hmm. on my end of the Instagram, and I don't know if it was on your end of the Instagram.
Let me pop over there real quick. Maybe I can see it.
We're going to pop in there and then
pop
maybe
over.
If you go into the messages and you go into general, mm-hmm. and you go to downtime, not downtime designs.
I see downtime.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Downtime designs.
Yep.
And it says two things.
Oh. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was an unread message in there.
I did not see this.
And it has to do with the things you were talking about.
Let me just skim it over real quick.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, bum, bum, bum. Okay, yeah. So I think we can go ahead and talk about this out loud. Yeah, so downtime design says, to jump to the DTF versus screen print conversation, I think you're on the money. For example, for a show I recently threw, Tacos and Tailgates, we did the event shirts for purchase as a screen print. But the staff shirts, 8 to 10 of them, as a full color DTF. The DTF stuff has come a long way, and if you have a small design or a large design with a lot of openings in the print, just let the shirt breathe. It's fantastic. Just like screen printing, if you have a lot of coverage, the print becomes heavy. Yeah, totally agree with all that. As far as like break it down, that's a direct to film, or so he's saying, not DTG, because DTG is direct to garment. These are direct to film. Direct to film is where like a DTG is where they print it directly onto the t-shirt using like an inkjet printer, and DTF is where they print it on a piece of film and then you heat press it onto the shirt.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's for, is if like you only need like a dozen shirts and it's like a full show art thing and it says staff on it or something, that's exactly what it's for. The only thing that I disagree with him on is the DTF does also feel heavy. Like, you've had a shirt, like, good example are Panda shirts, because Panda has that giant circle on the back, and it's Plastisol ink is basically plastic ink. So once it's cured, you essentially have a plastic sticker on the back of your shirt, and it doesn't breathe, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, it does get a little sticky sometimes, but DTF does the same thing. It is essentially just like a piece of like sticker. The only one that doesn't is the DTG, which is a direct to garment, which kind of like goes into the fabric a little bit more, and that one breathes a little bit more. But it also cracks easier, and it also washes out easier. So But yeah, no,
I just wanted I just want people to know that we are reading the messages.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just don't read them. Because sometimes like I assume you're doing it, and I think you assume I'm doing it, and we're both not doing it because we're watching baseball.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But the thing that I apologize now, and I'll be better at it, because like what I'll do is I'll just heart it, because I know we're going to talk about it at some point later.
Mm-hmm.
I need to explain to the person like, hey, man, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll talk about it.
Great question.
On the podcast. So I will be better at that. But
we are trying to be better at everything.
Dodgers. We're going for the sweep today, baby.
One more.
I know. One more. It's kind of
one
funny.
More, and then I don't care what happens. I just want
you just want revenge.
Not even revenge.
Yeah.
It's not a revenge thing, because the team that you're playing is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, and we are 3-0 currently.
They played the Cubs, and the Brewers played their series prior to this, and whoever won that series got to play in your series.
Mm-hmm.
So. The Brewers went up 2-0 in ours. It was a best out of five, and then we came back to tie it up, mm-hmm. and then lost the last one. Which to me, to come back from being 0-2 in that, you have to have a really good baseball team.
Yeah, not a lot of teams do.
So they lost, whatever. But then the Brewers. So there's a thing that the Cubs do when they win is they fly the W flag.
It's a white flag with a W.
W. So the Brewers decided in their team photo that they always take on the field. To put an L.
Yeah.
A white flag with an L. That to me is not like I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't like sore winners.
Sore winners. Mm-hmm. Sore winners are just as bad as sore losers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you won, you celebrate your win, and you look at the other team, good game, mm-hmm. and you go on you with your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the L thing, and then they go to play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have now beat them. Easily, three times in a row.
Yeah, so we're 3-0 currently.
So one more, they get swept, which means they didn't even need to go on. They could have just went home.
Yeah, I know. They could have just
they
not
didn't even,
did that.
And I'm not. I don't want to talk in advance because
right.
I want the Dodgers to sweep them.
Right.
Because I want to post, and I don't even know where I would post this, but I would love to post like a big L,
mm-hmm.
a little O, and a bigger L.
So LOL.
O-L.
So a couple things about that. Number one. So this Friday, we're going to be going into game four and with a 3-0 lead. The probability of sweep is very kind of low, because that almost never happens, because they're going to play hard. So either they're going to roll over, or they're going to fight hard and we're going to have to go to a game five, which traditionally happens. If they do go to a sweep, that's going to be something. So I'm not anticipating a win today. It'd be just really cool if they won today. But I am wearing my 2024 NLCS championship shirt.
Are you watching it at home tonight?
I think we're going to go out today and maybe go to Wild Wings and check it out.
Oh, cool.
Just because, number one, it's a little later today because for some reason, like, it's been 3:00 every day.
I know. I turned it on yesterday.
I know. It's really like, okay, so today's a little later, so we're going to do that. And it's very low stress. You know, if we win, that's awesome. If we lose, okay, that was probably bound to happen. So I'm able to go out into the public space and watch this game and enjoy a meal and watch the thing. So that's one thing. The other thing, specifically about the L flag and everything, the baseball, call them what you want, like baseball gods, baseball universe, baseball does not take kindly to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the best example is a couple years ago, the San Diego Padres posted a meme on their giant board at the end of a game after they'd won, which was it was Kershaw, but with tears coming out, like a crying Kershaw, because he had pitched that day and he lost. So they did this. they went on to lose in such a bad manner to the Dodgers. And it's like that happens. Like even now, like me and Angie will be like on the couch talking and I'll say something. I'll tell you later what I said because I can't say it here, but I said something and Angie's like, ah, that's hilarious. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, let's not say that. You know what? I take that back. Never mind.
Yeah, because you can't. It's too long of a season, and then you can't laugh at another team.
No,
You can't, because they will beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, and you can't anyway, because like the narrative that with the Milwaukee Brewers at the beginning was you have the Dodgers, which is a multi-billion dollar team. And the narrative is this billionaire team is going to go play the average Joes, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers. Like, actually, what was really funny is, like, when we started the series, I'm like, can you name one of these guys to Angie? And she's like, no, I have no idea who these guys are. Contreras is the only one that I've heard. Everybody else was like, no, I've never heard of that dude.
Well, if you pay attention to baseball a little bit more, you can. You know what I mean? Andrew Yelich,
Andrew Yelich, though, he's just like, he came into the league supposed to be like, well, he's like Cody Bellinger. Like, he was going to come to the league and Cody Bellinger won MVP his first rookie of the year, had all this stuff. And then that's what happened to Andrew Yelich. So yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But my point is you shouldn't need to do that in order to respect a baseball
team. No, I know. Hold on.
And they're ruining it for, themselves.
I'm getting to the point where it was like, I was like, that's a dumb narrative. These are professional baseball players. Like, these are guys, like, very, I mean, they were number one in baseball. They won the most games. Like, they're, to have this narrative going that they're the underdog average Joes. No, these guys are professional baseball players. And that was my point. Like, yeah, even though I can't name them, like, any of their stars or anything, it's still, you know.
I also love the narrative about the Dodgers being this thing when their team, they got players from other teams that didn't want them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, they're very good at that.
Right? So, like, Mookie Betts, mm-hmm. Ohtani, like, free. Like, all these people came from teams that did not want. They're just like, they didn't.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, especially, like, Ohtani and Betts.
Like, they didn't want to pay them enough.
There, that thing, that's it.
Enough to, like, keep them.
Right.
So you're mad at the team that did take them?
I know. I love how the Ohtani, ever since he joined the Dodgers, it went from when he was on the Angels, like, oh, Ohtani, the greatest of all time to ever do it. Just watching him play is so amazing. Even, you know, just on the, even though he's not my team, watching the Angels and watching him play is so amazing. Now he goes on the Dodgers and gets booed everywhere he goes.
That's just because it's Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's funny. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Any big market team gets the hate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, it's funny because, like,
The Brewers hate Chicago because what's Milwaukee?
Right.
Chicago is a powerhouse of a city.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee is 90 miles north and no one cares about it.
I've said, like, before, like, as a Los Angeles sports fan, that's just part of the package. People just don't like your team just because.
Yeah.
With the Lakers, with the Dodgers. Not so much, like, I'm not very much into hockey, but I would imagine, like, same thing, you know? And it's just the Los Angeles thing, man. I don't know. Anyway.
It is funny. Sports are funny. And is Ohtani starting tonight?
He is. Dope. But, you know, Ohtani is 2-for-24 at this point. So the greatest guy to ever pick up a bat, in my opinion, and this is a bold statement, is going to be more famous than Babe Ruth. 2-for-24.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Andrew Yelich, same thing. He hasn't done anything.
And, yeah.
Judge, remember last season?
Yeah.
Like, in the thing, he didn't do anything. And it's like, but the regular season is just as important as the postseason. Getting to the postseason relies on all the players.
Yeah.
In the postseason, some are not maybe going to be as good as they were in the regular season. And that's just, but they helped carry into that season.
Yeah.
Like, they helped get to that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it all balances out.
This season's been interesting too. Cause, like, we, in so many years past, it's always, you know, the Dodgers are always either the best in baseball or the second best in baseball. They always win, you know, 90 to over 100 games. Like, they're always the best in that category. And I always was like, man, I want to do one year where we're not the best.
Well, and this year you weren't. You exactly. were like the third.
And that's what I'm saying. We went into this year playing the wild card, not having the bye week, you know, because like, and then look at the Brewers. They won they won over 100 games, you know, and here they are.
Did you see, there was this thing, I was going to send it to you, but I forgot. The Andrew Vaughn on the Brewers was on the Rockies, and his batting average was like zero. Mm-hmm. He was terrible, and he got traded to the Brewers and just started going on a tear. And that's when they won the 14-game winning streak. Then they lost like one. Then they
won, he was like, a trade acquisition?
Yeah. Oh. So he was one of the reasons that the Brewers went on this tirade. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because he was on the Rockies, which were the worst team. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing good. He gets on this team and he does good. And again, it just goes back to these guys are all professional baseball players. And it doesn't matter if, you know, I mean, look at Ohtani. He's the best player in baseball, but he still strikes out to average pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Below. The thing that blows my mind, I heard this once before a long time ago, and it blows my mind. The worst player in the MLB was the best player in his town. Mm-hmm. So it's like that puts everything into perspective. Like you can't say these guys are suck or they're no good. No, man, they're all really freaking good.
Yeah, they're machines.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just some superhumans, though. Then you have like
Ohtani.
If you'd like Ohtani, Judge, mm-hmm. these people are superhuman.
Yeah. Yeah, they're on another planet. It's crazy. And I wondered, but now we live in this world where we get to see Ohtani and Judge and like all these amazing people play this sport. You know, because there were people who watched Babe Ruth play, and here we are 100 years later. You know, it seems like it's not real. They're just like legends and you know, folktales and stuff. But these are real people, and now we're getting experience in our own generations. Pretty crazy to me, because people are gonna talk about that guy for a long, long, long time.
The Blue Jays, though, coming back, dude.
The Mariners just not getting it done is crazy. But I'm kind of like it's working out really well. Okay. This is me speculating, whatever, but it's working out really well because if we can either win this game or win in the next two games, you know, we play four or five games. The Brewers and the Cubs had a knockdown, drag out war till the very, very end. And I think that's what really affected the pitching on the Brewers side, because they were just like throwing arms. The same thing's happening in the Blue Jays Mariners. They're fighting, fighting tooth and nail. So if we do move on and they move on, we're going to get a tired team, you know, which may not mean anything or not. I don't know. We'll see.
But it could mean the opposite. It could mean they're going in there. Just this is the final thing. And we are going to do everything we can. We don't, because everything's on the line.
You just empty the tank.
You could get in there to a rested Dodger team. That's kind of like, come on.
Yeah.
And then they go, whoa, and they just attack them.
I know. And that's baseball, man. It is so chaotic and sporadic. And like,
I really want the Mariners to go
to the World Series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I keep asking Angie, I'm like, who do you want to play? And she's like, Mariners. And I was like, okay, I don't know. We're deep into baseball talk now, but, if there's any team that has anything to do with the 2017 Astros, I don't like them. And George Springer was a 2017 Astro who was on the Blue Jays. So I'm like, yeah, Mariners, go Big Dumper.
Yeah.
Go Big Dump.
That guy's dope.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Seattle's just a great city. They have great fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great sports city. And the fans are very emotional. Like if you watch.
Oh, yeah.
They're super emotional. So,
And Toronto, like if you were to talk about that, like Toronto, like fans, they seem like Philly fan-esque, you know, kind of like, I don't know, even though like I think the Blue Jays, the last time they won a World Series was like the early 90s or something, I believe. And I don't even know, were they called the Blue Jays back then? Were they not the Expos.
They're not even from the United States. So why are they even playing?
In the World Series.
In the World Series.
They meant just like the players are from around the world. I don't know.
I don't know. It never made sense, but it would be fun if we did have a true World Series where you took Japan.
That's the WBC.
Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the World Baseball Classic, and that's happening next year too.
Yeah.
That's always fun. That was a lot of fun the last time that happened.
I think they played here in Phoenix last year.
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did. They did. And that was when we got to see Shohei Ohtani strike out Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good time.
Japan versus the United States. So, yeah, that's a fun. That's a fun one. And it's also fun too, like on the WBC, how they like you're like, why is this person representing this country? It's because his grandma's from this country. You know, like Freddie Freeman was representing Canada. Freddie Freeman is not from Canada. His parents are from Toronto, but he is not Canadian by any means. Or like Tommy Edman is like part Japanese and he was playing for Team Japan, you know. And my favorite was Austin Barnes was playing for Mexico. I think just because he's from Riverside. I don't know. Anywho. Well, that was fun. Whoever made it to this end, Derek made it to this end. I know because he's a Blue Jays fan. So
yeah,
he's fighting for Blue Jays. So yeah, I know he made it to this. So welcome.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. Well,
that's it.
Websites, new shirt over here, new shirts over there.
Yep. I mean, and I got another one coming.
Yeah. I'm excited about that one.
Not stopping.
I know, dude.
That one coming. I've got one coming in the end of December. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have one in February, and I'll have one. I'm just like,
yeah, go for it.
I got nothing else to do.
Me neither. All right. We'll see you next week.
Later.